Every Monday, we get a visit from Tribune columnist Eric Zorn, and every week, Eric picks an adjective by which we will describe him in his introduction. Today, he is the monovisual Tribune columnist Eric Zorn. Eric, first of all, thank you for being here. Second of all, explain to anybody who does not know why you would be called the monovisual Tribune columnist.
It's a term that I just learned a couple days ago, and as listeners remember, probably quite painfully, I was not here last Monday.
Yes.
In the usual spot. I mean,
yes.
I don't know, would you just run dead air without me?
We ran an episode of the show from 1963.
That's a smart thing to do. I was having eye surgery. I had a cataract in my left eye. I know you think I'm too young for that. Which
You're
actually,
way too young for
actually,
that.
Actually, the doctor said that I am pretty young for that, but I did have that done. And so what they
What
do,
are you, like 20?
Yeah, I'm about 20.
Right. Right around 20.
Really, I don't think you're too young for it, but go ahead.
No, well, the doctor said. Maybe he's just being nice, you know? I don't know. But anyway, so I had this an operation. Cataract, basically, they take the lens out of your lens is getting clouded. They take it out. They put in a new lens.
Yeah.
This used to be a huge deal. And if you remember back, you know, years ago, people would wear those wraparound protective glasses for a long time, and they would be in the hospital for a long time. And I was, like, in and out before noon last Monday.
That quickly.
Yeah, and painless operation, basically.
And how's your vision?
Well, I was going to say, what they do is they put a lens in your eye, and I've been farsighted and astigmatic for a long time. So what they do is they put a lens, and they say, well, what lens do you want in your eye? And I said, well...
Telephoto.
The one I can see out of.
X-ray is what I want. I said, I ordered it from the comic book. I have it right here. No, they... and so you choose what focal length you want. So I chose for this left eye, I chose it to be at about 3 feet, 2.5, 3 feet.
You can pick that specifically.
So, yeah. Because so, yeah. I want to be able to work on the computer without glasses.
Right.
So now this left eye, which had been my bad eye, I could barely see out of it for a long time. Now it's like perfectly clear at computer distance. And my right eye, which is still just, you know, farsighted and astigmatic, I wear a contact lens in that eye, and that's adjusted for 20/20 vision for distance vision. So I have these two eyes that do totally different things. One of them is focused at a distance, and I can, you know, read all the signs out here.
Yeah.
And then the other eye is up close, so I've got this strange thing, and that's called monovision.
I'm going to call that X-ray vision.
X-ray
I think
vision.
You got what you asked for.
It could be.
Will this mess up your depth perception when you drive?
Well, this is what I want. I've been talking to people about this because it's been kind of an odd adjustment to have. This
I would
happen.
Imagine
because you know you with both eyes do it. It's kind of like, I don't know, you wear contacts ever?
No.
Or have you ever had a lens pop out of your glasses where all of a sudden your eyes are just doing totally different things? It seemed like it would be really hard to get used to, and it's taken me the better part of a week to just not to always be thinking about it. But I'm slowly getting used to it. I've talked to some people who have this, who've done like LASIK surgery.
Yeah.
It's very similar actually to LASIK in a way that when you get LASIK surgery, the doctors can adjust your eye the way you want it. And I've talked to some people who have this, and they're quite used to it after a while. So I've been asking people, is this the way to go? This monovision thing where you're, I can't wear glasses anymore now because my glasses don't work.
You've worn glasses since I've known you.
Yeah, well, since
for
I was
decades.
20, yeah, since I was 20, just a couple of years ago when I was 20.
Yeah, see, I had the same surgery last year.
Yeah, so tell me about
last year, 2 years ago. Same thing though. I wore glasses my whole life, and it's so strange not to have to wear glasses. I only really wore them though to see far. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would never put them on if I was on the computer. But interestingly, I got the lens so I can, you know, see far. So
right.
Nearsighted.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And my other eye is okay, although I'm starting to have another one there. So, because I had eye surgery, which caused this to happen quicker.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm much too young.
Oh,
of course.
My goodness.
Like,
yes. Way
to
too
have,
young.
Yeah, yes. Way too young.
You had to have your parents sign some forms.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But you know what? The best thing that ever happened to me... Gosh, I remember one day looking out my picture window at my house. There's a park across the street.
Yeah.
And I could like see runners all the way on the other side of the park. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It was the best
it's
thing
that
ever.
Good.
But, so you have a version of what I have, which is
yes.
That your one eye, the one that you got fixed, is 20/20.
Exactly.
And the other one is...
It's still okay, but I'm starting to get another cataract. And that one I will... Do to see close.
Is that what
then I will have 20/20 vision.
You're gonna be what they call monovisual.
Yes.
Which is because the rest of us are you know normal people unlike you and me are
special
stereo visual.
Mm-hmm. But
right.
So but people tell me that it's the way to go.
It is. Now I will say though, since you brought up the depth perception,
yeah.
Yeah.
It is a little off. Like when I go downstairs. I always think there's one more stair. Like if there's not something that will differentiate, you know, if
well, because your eyes are at odds over what the reality.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's a little bit weird for that. But otherwise, I mean, driving, everything else is just perfect.
Well, did it take you some time to get used to it?
Yes.
Because this is what I've been freaking out about for the last...
No, it's only been a week. No.
Doesn't this cause headaches? I would think you'd get headaches.
I would think so, too. Yeah, that's just what I've been worried
about. I was getting headaches before I had the surgery. It was horrible because my eyes were so bad, and I was trying to adjust with bad eyes. So when I had the surgery, it was the best thing ever.
Well, my dad had cataracts in both eyes, and he had them both set for, you know, reading distance. And so he wears glasses to drive.
But it's not your father's cataract.
It's not my
father's cataract. That's what
they say. Ooh, good one, Bill.
You can sell that to your eye doctor.
Very quick.
So it's like, it's this one thing, it's one terrible thing about getting older is cataracts. And it used to be, you know, before they figured out how to fix this, you know, old people just go blind.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, I mean, now at our age, I think it's starting younger and younger. It used to be when you were over 70 or in your 80s, you got the cataract surgery. Now, people our age get it
40s,
all the time.
40s, 50s.
Right. I would never have done LASIK. That just seems like risky and expensive to start putting lasers on your eye. I mean, wearing glasses.
Says the guy who wants x-ray vision.
Yeah, well, with that. Really,
but they won't do LASIK. Like, I have to wear glasses now to read. I had perfect vision forever, and in the last 2 years, it's fallen apart.
Welcome to middle age, Bill.
I know. So I've asked about LASIK for that, and they won't do it if you just need it for reading. They consider that to be a waste of time.
Well, I'm told that they have these cataract replacement lenses that are bifocal.
Yeah, Steve Bertrand just told me he's getting that done.
He's getting bifocal ones?
So he can see up close.
Oh, really?
My surgeon didn't recommend that, so I decided not to do it. Although I'm a big believer in technology, but... It seemed like
as
a bit
Bill
much.
Puts his glasses on to read.
Yes, now I have to read all the text with glasses.
See, I still see close, and I know people hate it when that starts to happen.
It's awful. You know when you go in for your driver's exam and you look into that machine and there's an E that is sometimes pointing up or down or left or right? I could go all the way to the last one, number 12, and they'd say to me, no, we don't know anyone that goes past 10. I could go all the way to the last one.
You
and then in the last,
I have it memorized.
I have it memorized, right. It's down, left, right, left, up, left, right. And they would go, it's impossible. And then in the last 2 years, that has just fallen apart. I can't read anything.
That's funny you
glasses.
Brought that up. Before I had the surgery, I had to go get my license renewed, and they made me take the eye test.
Yeah.
So I read the first line, and then he said, they test both eyes.
Yeah.
He said, all right, you know, go. And I was like, oh, my God, I could not see anything.
None of them?
It was totally blank. I mean, to the point where the guy goes, oh, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm going to have surgery
nothing.
Here next week.
Man,
yeah, nothing's wrong.
We have a white cane
mean?
For you here. you out.
And I just like to say he gave me my license.
Oh, good. Happy ending.
Well, if anybody out there has monovision and really likes it, I'd love to hear from them. Or doesn't like it, I'd love to hear from them.
Yeah.
Eric Zorn at Gmail.
I imagine it's quite an adjustment for you. But
It has been. And I've worn glasses
forever.
For a long, long time. And now suddenly I can't wear them anymore. So.
How about that? Eric Zorn is here. In a little while, we're going to talk about a story that Judy and I have been sitting on all day long. We've been waiting for you, Eric, for this story. It's really funny. Or is it? We'll find out in just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilek in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. I know that sounds forceful, Judy, but it says right on the sheet, get on it.
You need to. People
gotta be forceful.
Need to know that Christmas is not even right around the corner. It's here.
It's Friday. Eric Zorn is here. There's a story that we've been sitting on all day. It's too good to be believed. Eric wanted to talk about it with us, so here it is. It's the big controversy over the bombing of Agrabah.
Bombing of Agrabah. 41% of Donald Trump supporters, a public policy poll found that 41% of Donald Trump supporters favor bombing Agrabah.
So we should just go in and decimate Agrabah.
Well, you know, with all the problems they've been having there.
Ugh.
And the problem with that is that, of course, Agrabah is the fictional kingdom in
Aladdin. It's mythical. It doesn't exist.
It does not exist. 40% of Donald Trump, 41%. Only 13% of Republicans polled were opposed to military action against Agrabah.
The fictitious kingdom of Agrabah.
19% of Democrats said they supported bombing Agrabah.
Is that right?
So it's not just Republicans.
Wait, did Trump, did he support or oppose it? Because that would have been hilarious.
He probably didn't know. Remember that?
I'll get back to you.
Right.
He sold them the Miss Universe
pageant. I'm sure you talked about that already.
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah. But, so what does this tell us? This tells us that people's just knee-jerk reaction to something like this, even though it doesn't exist, is to say, yes, something needs to be done. Somebody's asking me a question, so I have to respond angrily. Something needs to be done about Agrabah.
We need to invade Narnia. I think that's the No, I think what it tells you is that these opinion polls, especially when it comes to some of these finer issues, are very unreliable. And evidence that you get from watching like Jay Leno's jaywalking. Remember that old segment where he used to host The Tonight Show? He would go out on the street and he would ask people, like, how many states are there? And they'd be like, oh, there are 13. I mean, the people would just, when was the Civil War? Well, that was the 1960s, I think. It's just an incredible amount of ignorance out there.
Yeah.
So that when you're asking people about some of these more sophisticated policy questions, like about Obamacare, I mean, one of the fascinating things about Obamacare is that if you ask people if they support Obamacare, you'll get like, you know, 40% will say yes, they do. But then if you ask them about almost every individual component of Obamacare, ask them specifically, do you favor, you know, people being able to buy insurance even if they have a pre-existing condition? Well, yes, I favor that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that kids should stay on their parents' health care until they're 26? Well, yes, I'm in favor of that. All these various things. So that essentially they support everything, but they hear the term Obamacare and
it reads as negative.
And so what you're seeing with Agrabah is just this idea, and public policy polling does this periodically, is they'll just throw in these nonsensical questions and they'll get people to see whether people are kind of paying attention or not. And then so you can, you know, take these polls with a grain of salt when you see what people are actually thinking.
Why is it with Obamacare, you know, when they first drafted it up, it was the Affordable Health Care Act, and then somehow it started being called Obamacare just in natural conversation.
Oh, I think that was a Republican thing, wasn't it?
They
started referring to it as Obama, like a
negative
thing. To make it
seem negative.
And Obama then said, bring it on. I'll call it Obamacare.
That's what I was going to say.
I'll take ownership of that.
Judy's right. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
The Republicans were derisively calling it Obamacare, and the Democrats were calling it the Affordable Care Act. And then after a while, Obama said, yeah, okay, I'll own it. Obamacare, let's call it that. And so he has referred to it in news conferences that way, too. So.
Now, along the same lines, why is it that most of us refer to the terrorist group ISIS, but whenever Obama talks of ISIS, he says ISIL?
Yeah, I can't
Is there a reason
that
behind that?
There is some strange reason for that, but I don't know what the reason is. I knew it once and have forgotten it. But it always irritates me when he says ISIL, because everybody else says ISIS, and it sounds like he's like trying to be better than us or something.
We
like
presidents refer to it as ISIL for the rest of you.
And at first I thought maybe they were trying to cushion it a little bit, like, we're not going to say ISIS because that's what everyone...
Right.
You hear ISIS and that's how you react. Oh, my God, terrorism. But, yeah, so ISIL maybe...
ISIL is like the Islamic State in the Levant or something.
Oh, is that it?
But they both have... the I in it is... It stands for Islamic.
It does.
The first one. So, and then there's another way you refer to them as Daesh or D-A-E-S.
I've heard that.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that's considered to be offensive to them.
Right.
So if you call them that, it'll get them even madder than they are now.
Well, and just as a sidebar, I was telling Bill, this is so funny. My son goes to Iowa, and anytime I want to sign on to the website, it's ISIS.
Oh.
And I think to myself every time, because first I'm pinging at every FBI office in America. Secondly, that's why I never use my own computer, only my work computer. It's like, why don't they change that?
They
obviously had it first.
There was a story about a month ago about businesses. ISIS didn't used to have a negative connotation.
Right.
There was a kids' television show on Saturday mornings called the Shazam ISIS Hour. But all these businesses that had ISIS in their title have reconsidered in the last couple months, going, maybe we should call it something else. It's much like, remember years and years ago, there was a chocolate dietary supplement that was AIDS candy. And all of a sudden they went, oh, this is not the best name for
it. It was spelled AYDS.
AYDS, yeah.
Does that still exist, or they just
long gone? I know
they
became something else. Right. Hepatitis chocolate candy company.
Hepatitis H.
I love that story. I've been telling that story all weekend, the bombing of Agrabah.
Goodness.
It's perfect.
It's so depressing.
But it's about the reflexive. Obviously, it sounds Arabic. I don't think it's, you know, Jafar's regime that's getting them exercise. But it's this reflexive feeling about these countries that we identify as Arabic or Muslim countries. Pretty scary to think that we're willing to bomb a country that doesn't exist.
41%.
A lot of people.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of people. We only have a minute here, so let me ask you quickly. Lindsey Graham announced earlier today on his website that he is no longer seeking the nomination. There's not the uproar that some of us might have expected over Lindsey Graham's dismissal, although several people, we had Paul Lisnick on about a week ago saying, this is a guy that actually has some pretty solid ideas, but because he's been at the kids' table, nobody's hearing these ideas. Is that his ultimate
problem? Well, that's partly true, although if you remember, Chris Christie was relegated to the kids' table for one
for
of
a
the
little
debates,
bit.
And he seems to have bounced back. He's polling pretty well in New Hampshire
right
now. And
but Lindsey Graham was never at the adults'
Lindsey
table.
Graham
he was
never,
always...
I think he, maybe even the first debate, did he make that?
I don't think he did.
I don't think he ever was.
No.
Yeah.
So, the big surprise to me is not that Lindsey Graham's dropped out, but how many of them are still still in.
Exactly. Yeah.
With so little hope. What are some of these
people
doing?
Why are they hanging on?
Everybody says after Iowa that's when it shakes down. Does that seem about accurate?
Yeah, that seems like it's going to be accurate this year. But in previous years, the field winnows much faster. Than
right.
This. There'll be like 5 or 6 candidates at Iowa. They're not going to be.
I feel like they're saying, if Trump is still out there being
right.
number one, I still have a chance.
Well, yeah, I mean, so Pataki or Pataki, how do you say it?
Pataki.
You say Pataki, I say Pataki.
Let's call the whole thing off.
and Rand Paul, some of these people who are really pulling way, way down there. This guy, Jeb Bush.
Heard the name?
Jeb. What happened to Jeb? Trump happened to Jeb. That's what happened.
But you're right, exactly right. The people are waiting to see if Donald Trump is for real. But I think if Trump falls, then it's going to be Cruz or Rubio. Probably Cruz is going to inherit most mm-hmm. of his support. So I don't think it's going to go like, hey, you know, now that Donald's out, how about that Lindsey Graham?
Right.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying that people are like looking like, how Trump, who would have thought?
Yep.
So if he has a chance, I have a chance.
Yeah, I took a poll a year ago of readers asking them how many, who thought the leading Republican candidate was going to be as of, you know, the new year, this New Year's of 2016. And Trump wasn't even on the list.
Is that right?
So
it was that obscure
that
back then.
Was,
how about
surprise.
That? Eric, have a great holiday.
Yes, I'll talk to you soon.
We'll see you in the new year, we promise. Well done, Jude.
Thank you.
A quick break, some news, and then we'll find out what's coming up on today's Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pylock in for Wendy Snyder on WGN.